Thank you for joining me, Bertie Brits, in today's broadcast of The Love Way. I know that you're going to be blessed and touched by today's message. I just believe God has given me such a nice revelation on forgiveness and the healing power of God, and will just bless you. You know, to see people being healed, to see people being touched is such a wonderful, wonderful experience. I want to encourage you to get involved in missions work. You know, get involved in winning the lost. Get involved in going to hospitals, praying for the sick. Man, if there's an evangelist coming to your area that preaches the good news, go to his tent. Support the guy. Pray for the sick with him. Normally these guys are so open. Man, just get the sick healed. See the people get saved. And just experience the excitement of people getting saved. You know, we've had a crusade recently. Man, and what a blessing. You know, if we can just see the power of God, if we can just see people being touched, if we can see people just receiving Jesus Christ. Now, in the one crusade, the lady was brought to the tent that couldn't walk by herself for 3 years because of a stroke. Her mother died, and it was such an awful experience to her. She was under so much stress that she got a stroke at the funeral 3 years ago, and she couldn't walk by herself. She had to have somebody lead her and half like carry her. She couldn't go to the toilet herself. She couldn't help herself at all. They brought her to the tent and she was completely healed. She could walk by herself for the first time in 3 years. The next day she came to the tent, testified that she walked home from the tent by herself for the first time in 3 years. She could walk a distance like that or even at all by herself. Isn't that wonderful? That's awesome. And to just have that in your life, to see that firsthand, to see that miracle, and to know that God can use you as well to do that. Then one person once said to me, you know, Bertie, God doesn't use me for miracles. And I asked him, have you prayed for any sick people? He said, no. Now, how do you know if you will be used by God if you don't pray for the sick? Oh, hallelujah. You know, if we can just be around a man of God as well that prays for the sick, that ministers to the lost, has got a passion for people, you will just see how easy it is and how easy you can tap into the finished work of Jesus to see that manifest in your life. I just want to say this, you know, just while it is in my heart. Don't ever think it's the special anointing that makes a man of God who he is. It's not like that. So many times, you know, we can think, you know, this man of God is the special blessing from God and he's the only one that can. That is not the truth. The Holy Spirit that's upon men of God is upon you and in you as well. And whosoever can tap into what Jesus has done for him will do the things Jesus has done and greater works. So all we need to do is believe. What must we do to work the works of God? They asked Jesus. Jesus said, believe on Him whom He has sent. So, you know, so many times we want to do funny things to get the anointing. You know, the moment you want to do something to get something, it means you don't believe you've got it. You know, the way I started to minister to the lost and to pray for the sick was very simple and easy. And the other day, I was at the conference of Prophet Quibus, and I've enjoyed it so much. And while I was there, on the carpet, under the power, it came to my mind on how I started to pray for the sick, how the anointing came upon me, how God started to flow through me. And it was such a simple, easy way. And I believe that this is what God wants you to know, so that you can also easily flow in that. It's not difficult. You know what happened to me? I got saved. Now, the day I got saved, I didn't get saved like the normal guys. You know, I prayed a sinner's prayer or something like that. No. I was at a mass crusade that somebody held, and there was a lot of teenagers, and I was 17 years of age that time. They called the people forward that wanted to receive Jesus as Lord. I went forward and stood on the one side of the stage. And the people had to make little groups, and they had to pray and accept the Lord into their hearts. Now, they made the groups, but I didn't want to stand in one of the groups. I looked at the groups, I thought, where will I stand? And I looked at them, and I said, no, I don't want to stand in a group. And I went and I stood at the side of the stage, and I just prayed. And I prayed this. I said, Lord, I don't know if these guys are serious, but I am. Amen. And that was my sinner's prayer. That's how I committed my life to Jesus, because of His great commitment unto me and what He's done in dying, obeying, and being resurrected on my behalf. From that moment, we went back to the hostel where we stayed, and I started to preach to the guys. I said, man, wasn't this awesome? How does it feel to give your life to Jesus? And somebody there did something wrong or said a swear word after the crusade. I would say, man, I've just given my life to Jesus. I thought I saw you there in front as well. Now, maybe the message was a little bit condemning, but I just shared the message of the gospel from that moment. And it wasn't because of something special. It was just because of the life of God that's in me, which is also in you. I went home and I started to preach. I would use any opportunity to preach. I would preach to the children at school. I would preach to anybody because that is what was in my heart. And you would say, Bertie, but that's just not who I am. That's not... You know what? I took the scriptures from Matthew chapter 1 and I said, well, I'm going to read through the New Testament. Nobody told me that. I wasn't followed up. I didn't slot into a cell group. Nothing like that. Not that I say we're not supposed to follow up. Not that I say we're not supposed to go into cell groups. But that's not what happened to me. What happened to me was I took the scriptures. I started to read from Matthew. When I got to the place, I think it's Matthew 10, where Jesus sent out His disciples. I said, well, I'm a disciple of the Lord. Jesus has sent them out to go and heal the sick. And that means I'm a disciple. Excuse me. I can go and heal the sick as well. So I called the servant girl in the house. I said to her, please go and call some of your friends that's sick. They went out. She went out, got some of her friends, four or five of them that had sickness. I prayed for them. They came back 2 days later and they were completely healed. And the one lady had an ulcer sore. It looks like a cancer on the leg about that big. It struggles to be healed. You know, doctors struggled for months to get it healed. She was healed in 3 days. I didn't wait for this awesome something to fall from heaven. I didn't wait for a tingling feeling from heaven. No. I just said, well, my God, if I'm your disciple, it means when you send out the 12, there was power for me as well. I believe that what you've said is true and that it can flow in my life. I went out, prayed for the sick and saw great results even until today. Amen. Now, Bertie, how can it be that easy? It is that easy. That's the gospel. If you want to make it difficult, don't call it the gospel. Call it something else. Start your own religion or something. But that is not the gospel. The difficult thing is not the gospel. The easy thing. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, another thing that comes to my mind while I'm at it is, you know, so many times people tell me, it's not the gospel, the message of grace, is just tickling the ears of people. Now, it's not the truth. In the time of the law, these Pharisees and these people will gather people around them that will tickle their ears. And I tell you, the message of grace didn't tickle their ears. It made them very upset. It made them kill Jesus. It made them crucify Peter. It made them want to kill Paul. It made them boil John in oil. That's what the message of grace did. It wasn't tickling the ears of people. It was getting people really upset. If you preach the message of grace, it will bring forth a sword. It will bring forth fights. You know, people will say, no, this is not right. How can it be so easy? Especially the guys that's been obeying for 20 years trying to get a blessing and they have not received it. And here comes a guy by grace and he just receives it for free. That can get people really upset. Now that is the way the gospel works. Jesus said that there was a guy in a vineyard. He hired people 6 o'clock in the morning. Then he went 12 o'clock in the day. And then he hired people at the end of the day just to get paid. They didn't do anything. They just received wages. They just received money, blessings. And the guy in the beginning was upset with the people at the end. Now the word that would go out to the people at the end saying, these guys at the end come and work in my vineyard at 6 when it is chila time, when it's time to knock off. You know, that word wouldn't have been tickling the ears and wouldn't have been nice to the guys that's been carrying the burden of the day, the work of the day. Now, we must understand that scripture. Tickling the ears is not preaching grace, but it's preaching the law. Grace is not tickling unto the ears of people. that are under the law. So many times it's just something that's evil. It's, to them it's wrong. It's not supposed to be like that. You know, so just get that in your mind. Know that the message of grace is the only gospel there is. Hallelujah. It's easy for you to be anointed. It's easy for you to walk in the power of God. You take the scripture, you say, Lord, this scripture speaks of Jesus. And I want to see what Jesus has done. What Jesus has done is done on behalf of man. It's like Prophet Kuba said at the conference. When Elijah went into heaven, he dropped his mantle. And it fell on the earth. And Elisha picked up the mantle. He went to the river and says, where's the Lord God of Elijah? And he opened the river. So it's exactly the same with us today. If we want to interpret that scripture into the New Testament and into the finished work of Jesus, what's the first thing we must do? We must see the Word. Who is the Word? The Word is Jesus. So if we look at Elijah and Elisha, how are you going to see Jesus? Jesus came, He walked this earth, He went up into heaven, and then His mantle fell, and His mantle was the Holy Spirit. And whosoever is on the earth, that mantle fell for him. And if you can see Jesus going into heaven, if you can see the doctrine that Jesus, as a man, went into heaven, and He sat at the right hand of the Father as a man, on your behalf, His mantle is yours. His mantle, not somebody else's, His mantle is yours. And you can take the mantle of Christ. You can take the anointing of Jesus and do what He has done. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? That is powerful. It's powerful to know that when I see Jesus, when I see His finished work, I can have His mantle. It was such a blessing at the conference to know we can walk in the mantle of Jesus. What was His mantle? He said it so clearly in Luke chapter 4 as well as in Isaiah. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the good news unto the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those who are bound, to cry out freedom unto the captives, to proclaim the year of Jubilee, the year of freedom, the acceptable year of God. Hallelujah. So when Jesus went into heaven, His mantle, which was the Holy Spirit, fell in Acts chapter 2 upon people, and that is for us today. That's how easy it is to be anointed. See the finished work of Jesus and receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and you can do what Jesus has done. Man, Bert, you make it sound so easy. Now, that's how easy it was for Peter and Paul and James and John and all of those guys. They sat, they prayed, all of a sudden it happened. And that's the way it is. You sit, you see, Lord Jesus, I see Your finished work in the Word of God. I've got my facts together. It is like that. You represented me. It's mine. And then you are healed. Then you are anointed. Then you can go out and do that which God has asked us to do. And it is not because He asked us, because that's our nature. We want to see people being saved. Hallelujah. Man, it's awesome. God is such a blessing by giving all of these things unto us for free. I want to just speak a little bit about, further about scripture interpretation. You know, when you interpret scriptures, you need to see the Word of God in that scripture. Jesus is called the Word. If it's not Jesus, it is not the Word. It needs to be Jesus. So if we take any Old Testament scripture, I always say it this way. There's three things we need to look at. Number one, what did Jesus demonstrate concerning what I want to say? Number two, what did Jesus say about what I want to say? And number three, how does what I want to say, even if I put it in the words of Jesus and in the deeds of Jesus, how does that relate to the death and the obedience and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Now, I want to explain that. You know, I can take a scripture in the Bible where Jesus said, go and offer the sacrifice Moses has said that you should offer as a testimony unto the priests. And I can say, well, Jesus said that we must go and sacrifice. So, whenever somebody is healed of leprosy or AIDS or something, you must get in your airplane, fly to Israel, help rebuild the temple so that these things can be reinstituted and that we can offer a sacrifice. Because Jesus said, in His words, and He demonstrated by telling people, go and sacrifice the sacrifice that Moses commanded. Now, that is a wrong interpretation of Scripture, because Jesus said it, and Jesus, I mean, he just said it out straight, go and do it. Jesus was teaching it. In the Old Testament, there was a teaching about it. But how does that correspond with the obedience of Jesus to the law, His death and His resurrection? In His obedience, death and resurrection, we clearly see that He is the final sacrifice and that we don't need to sacrifice animals anymore. And in that, that teaching has been ended, so we don't sacrifice anymore. Now, it's exactly like that with the Old Testament. If I take a scripture in the Bible, like I said, Elijah and Elisha, I need to see Jesus. If I take, for instance, say, Esther. Esther is a wonderful example of what Jesus has done. I can take the book of Esther and I can interpret it completely wrongly. I can say, you know, I must prepare myself. I must do everything right for one day with the king. I must bathe myself in oil. I must get in the anointing. I must get in the word, because I must prepare myself for one day with the king so that he can anoint me as his queen. Now that is an interpretation, or that is what Esther has done. But if you want to take that and apply it right unto your life yourself, like saying, I must prepare myself so that I can be anointed as king or declared as queen, and that I can be a savior for my people or for my situation. You know what? You're making yourself the Christ. And you are not Jesus the Christ. There's only one Jesus the Christ. And He lived 2,000 years ago on this planet. Today He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And if you are in Him, then you are like Him. But you are not Him. You are not the Savior of the world. You're not the one that died upon the cross for the sins of people. So we cannot interpret that scripture directly unto us. We must look at Jesus. Jesus came. And let's take the story of Esther, for instance. Jesus came. He saw that His people was under a death penalty. They're going to die. Like the king just wanted to kill the Jews. Then He went unto the king. He prepared Himself. He was well pleasing unto the king. And then He was declared the Son of God. That's what Jesus did. A voice came from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Even on the mountain, He says, this is my Son. Listen to Him. And, you know, all of those things happen. It is absolutely a picture. I mean, what Esther has done is an absolute picture of what Christ had to do. And He fulfilled that scripture by what He's done. And He brought salvation unto the church. And today, we are not a queen. We are not the bride of Christ because of what we've done. We are the bride of Christ because of what He's done and because we've placed our trust in Him. That is interpreting scripture. And we need to interpret every scripture in the Word of God in that light. How does the book of Job, how does Exodus, Deuteronomy, all those sacrifices, all those things, how does it correlate with what Jesus Christ has done for us? That's how we interpret Scripture. Otherwise, you're going to be confused, my friend. And I can tell you just this straight out. Anything that you think you must become, you've already missed it. That's it. We are not in a become mode. We are in a I am mode. Whatsoever you believe you have, that you will receive. If you believe that I have been made the righteousness of Jesus, you know what happens? Then you are made the righteousness of Jesus. It manifests in the physical. Because when we are persuaded of the truth, what God has done in Jesus, that changes our minds. Now let's go and look at a scripture concerning forgiveness. And the reason why I want to speak a little bit about forgiveness is I want to pray for the sick today. And I want to see you being healed. And I've always thought, you know, if I don't forgive right, if I don't do right, then God is not going to heal me because He's giving me over to the devil because I've got unforgiveness in my heart. And I always said there's a scripture in the New Testament about it in Matthew chapter 18. Now, the first mistake I made was it is not in the New Testament because Matthew is not in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John are still part of the Old Covenant. And then, with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when He was seated at the right hand of the Father, the new was implemented. Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? And so this was still under the Old Testament. But I always thought, you know, this is what the Scripture says. Jesus came. It tells a parable about a guy who was forgiven much. And then somebody else came. Or this guy was forgiven much. Somebody else came who owed him money. He wasn't willing to forgive him. And then the father said, well, now you're going to punish. You're going to pay back all that you owe me. So what happened was the father was reminded of the sins of the guy who lended out the money was reminded of the sins of this guy. So his sins was covered. It was never really forgiven. Anyway, it was still against him. It's not the New Testament principle where our sins are paid for and where it's removed from us as far as what the East is from the West because of Jesus and the way he says, I will remember it no more. So this sins was in any case a sin that could still be remembered. Now, if we look at Matthew chapter 18 and we look at forgiveness and we look at healing, so many times we think, especially the poor guys with cancer, you know, and I don't want to belittle you, I just feel compassion in my heart. If you sit with cancer, so many times it thinks, because I've got this bitterness, I've got this maybe ancestor curse, or I've got this bitterness in my heart, and because I haven't forgiven everybody, therefore I've got this cancer and I cannot be healed. Now, man, medical science has proven that stress and unforgiveness and those type of things has got an effect in your body and can bring forth sickness in your body. So you might have cancer because of your unforgiveness. But I want to say this. Your healing is based on Jesus. It's not based on the fact if you forgive or not. You can be healed right now even if you walk with unforgiveness. You can receive cancer again because of unforgiveness that continues in your heart because it just sets forth a wrong chemical, there's a chemical imbalance in your body and cancer cells starts to form because of stress and anxiety and all the things that you're under because of unforgiveness. But healing comes to you because of Jesus. There was a man at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus healed him. Then afterwards Jesus went to him, said to him, go and sin no more lest something worse happen to you. But the healing was based on who Jesus was. So, if you've got cancer, don't try and investigate your life to see how I can be healed. Let's investigate God. Let's see who God is and you can receive your healing. If you've got unforgiveness or not, you can receive it today from God. And then unforgiveness will be taken from your life by Jesus Christ. Now, let me explain it to you. If somebody makes me really upset, you know what I do? I don't try to forgive him. I know I must forgive him, and I know that forgiveness is supposed to flow out of my heart. But I want to forgive him from my heart. I don't want to forgive him from my mind. It must be a heart thing. How do I forgive him from my heart? I put my eyes on Jesus. I look at Jesus. And I take Colossians, and I'm going to read this for you because this is such a powerful scripture. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 6, and this is the scripture I base this on. It says, you have known the word which is come unto you and into all the world, and it brings forth fruit. It means the word brings forth fruit, and it does also in you, since the day you heard the word and knew the grace of God and truth. So the word must bring forth fruit in me. The fruit that I want is long-suffering, kindness, forbearance, and forgiveness. How will forgiveness come forth in my life? By knowing the word of grace. The more I look at grace, the more I look at the forgiveness of God, the more I look at the mercy of God, the more I find I'm not upset with the guy that has wronged me, and the more I find forgiveness. I'm not angry with him anymore. There's forgiveness in my heart, and then I confess the forgiveness that's already in my heart. Man, isn't that awesome? That is absolutely powerful. Peter, when he was on the water, when he was walking on the water, I want to illustrate this forgiveness thing through that. While he was looking at Jesus, while he was looking at how Jesus forgave him, while he was looking I'm putting this towards forgiveness. While he was looking at Christ, he was walking on the water. But when he was looking at the circumstances, he was sinking. If somebody has wronged you and you've got cancer and you feel, man, I cannot be healed because I've got this thing against this man. Stop looking at your unforgiveness. Start to look at Christ and you can be healed today. And after you've received your healing, you'll find joy. And as you find joy in your life, you'll find, man, I'm not upset with that guy anymore. And you'll find energy and strength inside yourself and a heart attitude of forgiveness because of God's forgiveness that's towards you. Hallelujah. And you'll find it's easy to say, I forgive this man. Man, isn't that awesome? Let's pray together and we're just going to see the healing power in your life. Father, I come in the mighty name of Jesus. And I just speak your glory. I just speak your awesome power over people right now. I say, be healed from cancer in Jesus' name. I declare unto you, you are forgiven by Jesus. You are forgiven. I set you free from your sins by declaring unto you, you are forgiven. I set you free from your sickness right now by declaring unto you, you are the healed. I set you free from your unforgiveness by declaring unto you, God loves you. He cares for you. Your sins are paid for. I speak unto you the finished work of Jesus so that what He's done can open your mind unto the Scriptures so that you can understand the good news. You are the blessed. You are the prosperous. You are the people that will have the proskuneo life, a love towards God, the love that licks the hand of the Master because you see His love for you. You see His protection. You see His kindness. God is a God of loving kindness. He loves you so much that He's willing to be kind unto you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I want you to just respond to this program. Send your praise report or your prayer request to the number on your screen, and we will gladly pray for you. Also, make use of our ministry products. You can just, you'll see it on the screen, make use of this. We will gladly send it to you. It's for a donation of any amount, or if you cannot donate, we are willing to send it to you for free. God bless you.